Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in, episode 156, What's Right with Nick Wright. Game one of the NBA Finals is upon us. And one of my weaknesses as a talk show host, and let's be honest, there are not many, but one of them is I don't love the game preview. I love the recap, I love the big picture stuff, but when we are on the day of a game, especially before a series even starts, and we don't have any real data to go off of, aside from what they've done against other teams, it's not my favorite. I don't think it's what I'm actually the best at, and I just really want to get to the game. So with that in mind, I am going to try something today that I don't know that I've tried in a year. Diora, I'm going to hit the clock today. We're going to have a nice, sharp, we're going to have a nice, crisp 35-minute episode.
Absolutely no way.
You don't think I can do it?
No, I don't.
You're doubting my ability. It's going to be concise, to the point. We're going to get right to it. We're going to move. So with that in mind, yes, you can ask questions in the chat. We will get to those in about 25 minutes, which will be the time we get to the C block. Here is what missed the cut for today's show. Jimmy Butler has trademarked Himmy Buckets. A 19-year-old wins that silly cheese race in Great Britain while unconscious. And Josh Hart tweeted about tasting breast milk. Stephen A. was very bothered by this. I don't really have a take on it. His tweet was, have y'all ever tasted y'all's significant other breast milk? Asking for a friend. I think he then followed up. Somebody said it tastes like almond milk, and he said it tastes better. CJ McCollum says, sick conversation, heard it goes down like almond milk. And I do believe he said it actually tastes better. However, we're trying to hit the clock. We're trying to be concise today. Diora, what are we leading off with?
So the Heat are coming off a grueling 7-game series. Now they are traveling to the Mile High City on a little rest.
Yep.
Even LeBron says the altitude is no joke. Mm-hmm. In the finals, if the home team wins game one, they win the series 75% of the time.
Yep.
So are the Heat drawing dead in game one and therefore the series?
I do not believe the Heat are drawing dead in game one. I certainly don't believe they're drawing dead in this series. And I think there are some factors that work in the very short term in the Heat favor here. So I think the fact that the Heat have played so many more playoff games than Denver has. Well, I shouldn't say so many more, but they have played more. 3 more games than Denver has. And the fact that they just played a 7-game series could hurt Miami later in the finals. I don't think they are going to be fatigued in game one of the finals. I've talked a lot about the altitude and the altitude being a problem for Denver's opponents. But that's most notable when you're playing a team with Chris Paul till he got hurt and Kevin Durant and then LeBron James, older guys, than playing a team that has Jimmy Butler and a bunch of young guys, and I guess Kevin Love's an older guy as well, but he doesn't play much. So I don't think the altitude is going to be as much of a factor for Miami. In game one, what a legitimate, tangible advantage that I believe Miami has is they have been there before. Jimmy, Bam, Hero's obviously not playing. He'll be there eventually. Hell, even Gabe Vincent, Kevin Love, who we mentioned, Spo, they have all played, except for Love, with the Heat in the finals. Love played in four finals with the Cavs. This is not the biggest game of their lives. For everyone that matters on Denver, except for KCP, this is the biggest game of their life. I think that experience edge and whether or not the opening moments of the game are a little overwhelming mitigates somewhat the edge Denver has from what will be an insane home crowd in the opening minutes of the game. If you remember game one of the conference finals, they won that game based on the first quarter, and the crowd was absolutely electric. I expect the crowd to be absolutely electric again, but I do wonder if for really everyone but Jokic, I don't think it'll be too much for Jokic at all, but for Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, if there's going to be a bit of holy shit, we're in the finals, and how much that will impact them. I also think, to get back to the rest edge, now I get it. Teams with this type of rest edge are, I think, 8-1 in the last 9 NBA finals in the series, 8-1 in game one. So this is would be bucking that trend. I also think that Miami, rolling the way they've been rolling, Denver was playing better than any team in the league this postseason, but because of the sweep, now is it a week and a half of not playing? And I know this is the old rest versus rust. I think the rest edge will help Denver more as the series drags on than it will help them in game one. I think Miami being in a rhythm and feeling a little rested in that, going from playing every other day as they were in the Eastern Conference Finals to having a few days off. So I don't think Denver's rest edge will be massive here. I also, as I talked about last week, recognize that Denver is on paper the better team, and Jokic is en route to being recognized, if he's not already by most, as the best player in the league. From a pure X's and O's standpoint, Denver should win the series. But it sure as hell to me feels like there is something special about this Miami team. They have been banging on the door for 4 years. I don't think this is their last shot, but it is definitely their best shot. And while I think Michael Malone is a good coach, I think Eric Spoelstra is the best coach in basketball, and I think Jimmy Butler is going to rise to the occasion. And lastly, the Nuggets this year are unbeatable when Jokic has basically double-digit assists, and a losing record when he doesn't. Jokic is basically making all the same passes every game. The question, what that really is an indication of, if the others are hitting shots, Denver is almost impossible to beat. Are the others going to be overwhelmed by the finals? And is Jamal Murray going to build on the best playoff series of his career, the Western Conference Finals sweep against the Lakers? Or is Jamal Murray going to regress to the mean a bit in the NBA Finals? Because I don't think Jokic is going to show up. I think he's going to run out of gas. That's why I'm picking Miami. I like Miami's coach more. even though they're undrafted guys, because of the rhythm that they're in, I like what I think Miami's others can do more in this series. I like Miami's defense more. I like the fact that Miami is going to be able to add midway through the series one of the most dynamic scorers on their team, and a little bit of the, as Brew said on the TV show, pixie dust of the sports gods and Miami's time being now and Denver's time maybe being next year or the year after, coming so close, losing a finals, coming back better, and then breaking the door down, similar to what Miami would have gone through, making the finals a few years ago, making Game 7 of the conference finals last year. I'm going with Miami tonight, and I'm going with Miami in the series. Next!
Okay, playoff Jimmy has been a different beast this year. He even predicted the future, offering finals tickets to Coco Gauff during the season. If the Heat win, they'd cap off perhaps the best four-year stretch in the league.
Yeah.
Is it possible the time after KD and the Warriors will be the Jimmy Butler era?
No, I don't think it's going to... Listen, I don't think we're about to have a Jimmy Butler era. I also don't think the league is leaning towards eras right now. I think that we're about to have, for the first time in more than 40 years, five different champions in 5 years. It's going to have been the Warriors, the Raptors, the Lakers. Oh, I'm sorry, for starting with the Raptors. The Raptors, the Lakers, the Bucks, the Warriors, and now either the Heat or the Nuggets. So I don't think Miami is about to pop off some dynasty. But I do think we have to acknowledge that since Jimmy Butler has been there, if they win this title, no one has been more successful. And in fact, if we just go to, in the last 5 years, the year before Jimmy Butler got there, if they win this title, no one has been more successful. If they win the title, they will have one championship, two finals appearances, and three conference finals appearances in the last 5 years. The Warriors in that stretch have one title, two finals appearances, two conference finals appearances. The Lakers have one title, one finals appearance, two conference finals appearances. The Bucks, one title, one finals appearance, two conference finals appearances. The Celtics would have zero titles, one finals appearance, and I think four conference finals appearances. The Heat will have been the most successful team in the league over the last half decade. They already, and this is remarkable, since Jimmy got there, the Miami Heat lead the NBA in playoff victories. They're at 37, the Celtics are at 36, the Lakers and Nuggets are at 26. I think the Warriors are at like 32. And that is based on the culture of the organization, their ability to find talent where others can't, exceptional coaching, and one of the very best playoff performers in the world in Jimmy Butler. Next.
Okay. You said on TV that Jimmy has more to gain than Jokic if he wins a ring. But throughout the year, you've said Jokic has the most pressure to win a ring. How can Jimmy have more to gain if Jokic has more to lose?
Well, here's the thing. I actually don't think Jokic has more to lose. I think that Jokic has won everyone over. I think that it is, to me, not realistic that Jokic is going to just be awful in these finals. He's going to be somewhere from good to extraordinary. And if the Nuggets don't win, it's going to be more about what the Heat did or what Jokic's teammates didn't do than about Jokic failing. So there was, to me, there was massive, massive pressure on Jokic this year to make the finals. And he did it. And he went through Durant and Booker and then KD and then LeBron and AD. And he did it in spectacular fashion. So, yes, there will be a, if they lose, all right, Jokic at some point needs to win a ring. But I think everyone will believe that he will at some point. The reason that Jimmy has more to gain is because there are still people. I said on TV yesterday, Jimmy Butler's a top five playoff performer, and people argued with me about it. Nobody thinks he's a top five overall player in the league, but the results in the postseason are undeniable, and if they win the championship, it's an all-time championship because he doesn't have any other great players. They were the 8 seed. And while I won't call him the best player in the world, there are two guys at this point that everyone thinks are the best players in the world, Giannis and Jokic. If they win the title, Jimmy would have beaten both of them with inferior teammates.
Okay.
And so I just think that what he has to gain is a legendary status. And there is no comp for this career. The guy's a second round pick or the last pick of the first round. The team that drafts him is like, oh, he's better than we thought, but he's not worth the max. They trade him away. He goes to Minnesota. Minnesota has their only postseason success of this entire town's era with him. They then get sick of him. He goes to Philly. Philly has the best playoffs they have had in any year with Embiid, with him. They come within a buzzer beater in Game 7 of Round 2 of maybe going to the NBA Finals, certainly going to the Conference Finals. He then goes to Miami. They instantly make a Finals. People call it a fluke. 2 years later, they're the one seed and come within a shot of making another Finals. And then this year, they're in there. For a guy who, in the regular season, is a good but not a great player, there is no comp for it. That's why he has the most to gain. I actually think neither one of these teams has much to lose here. Because you might say there's pressure on Denver because they're such heavy favorites. But if Miami beats them, no one is going to be able to deny anymore that Miami is a special group and a special team. Next.
If you look at these teams in the finals, they don't look like the other recent finals teams. The Nuggets have a homegrown roster, and the Heat are full of undrafted players. Is this the finals evidence that super teams are dead?
Well, I talked super teams a few weeks ago on the show, and the fact of the matter is that just create a super team out of thin air, it works for LeBron and LeBron only. The other champions are homegrown teams that added a piece. The Warriors were already a champion. Well, the Warriors were a homegrown team that then added Andre Iguodala as the final piece, and then they added Kevin Durant as an embarrassment of riches. The Bucks were a homegrown team that added Drew Holiday. The Raptors were a homegrown core of everything that then added the superstar in Kawhi Leonard. The Nuggets, a homegrown team that added a minor piece in Aaron Gordon. The Heat are a homegrown team that added the important piece in Jimmy Butler. The just create a team thing, that works for LeBron. That hasn't worked for anybody else. And that, Diora, is our first segment. Right on the dot. Quick break, right back. B-Block, what's right? With Factors, delicious, ready-to-eat meals you will be eating stress-free this spring. Each meal is chef-crafted, fresh, and dietitian-approved. More importantly, they are never frozen and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled up all day long. Try meals with premium ingredients like filet mignon, truffle butter, and shrimp. Restaurant-quality food that you do not have to prep, cook, or clean up, delivered right to your doorstep. And if you need to change your deliveries, you can pause or reschedule whenever you like. Factor is your solution for fast and premium meals. Also, for the month of April, Factor is celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. So, what are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/NickWright50 and use code NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code NickWright50 at factormeals.com/NickWright50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next. Fuel up fast, eat better, and get back to what you love doing this spring with Factor.
Welcome back, episode 156. So now we're going to start with financial gambling. There are a million
ways. Financial gambling?
Finals.
Finals gambling.
Finals.
See, I just don't know if you're quite ready to bring us back into this.
I messed segments. Up once.
Well, you know, you gotta.
You mess up every day you come to work, you know, by not letting me be the main host.
Oh, okay, so, sorry. Go ahead.
There are a million ways to bet on the finals. It feels like a good time to bring back the offer, but DeMonte's in LA and I'm too young to gamble, so we're going to make our own.
Oh, okay. All right, so you guys are going to put up, and I'll read through them for the audio audience, the potential picks that I can have. To make this parlay. So the Heat specials are Caleb Martin to score 30-plus in any game is plus 550. Jimmy Butler, 10 or more assists in any game is plus 150. And Bam Adebayo to average 10-plus rebounds, that's plus 200. So of those three options, the only one that's attractive to me at all is the Jimmy Butler one. And I'm going to break out my parlay calculator here. So Jimmy Butler to have a 10-plus assist game, I think is likely. I think it's better than 50%. I'm getting plus 150. I don't think Caleb Martin, even at 5.5 to 1, I 30 points is rich. And averaging 10 rebounds is very difficult. It takes one bad rebounding game to ruin that, and Joker's such a great rebounder. I don't like that. All right, let me see the Nuggets specials and see if Jokic to average a triple-double is minus 125. Jamal Murray to have the highest scoring game for the Nuggets is plus 200. Michael Porter Jr. to average 15.5 points is minus 115. So I will take Michael Porter Jr. average, because that's just an over-under, because it's minus 115 on both. I will take Michael Porter Jr. to average under 15.5 points per game in the series. The Jokic triple-double, I'm just not going to lay minus money on something that only has been done once in finals history and was done by LeBron. Jamal Murray having the highest scoring game on its face looks good, particularly at plus 200, but I think the Heat's game plan is going to be let Jokic score 40 if he wants and try to take away everything else. So I'll go Michael Porter Jr. averaging under 15.5 points per game at minus 115. And then there are some championship specials. Jokic Finals MVP minus 360. Butler finals MVP plus 330 and the finals to end in six at plus 240. So I'm going to go Butler finals MVP at plus 330. Let me just see if we, my pick is Heat in six. So let me just see if I added in the finals to end in six. So we would have plus 150 on Jimmy to have a 10 plus assist game, minus 115 on Michael Porter Jr. under 15.5 points per game, Butler finals MVP in the finals to end in six. Put all that together, that's 67 to 1. So $1,000, you would win 67,000. If we take out the finals to end in six, it's 19 to 1. And that's actually the one I'm going to roll with. So Butler finals MVP, Porter Jr. under 15.5 points per game, Jimmy 10 plus assists, roll it in one game or more, roll it all together, it's 19 to 1. We're going to make that bet. I accept that offer that I just gave myself. Matt's putting it into the rundown. Greatly appreciated. Diora, time now for our game.
Okay, so we're going to start a new game today called Nick GPT. So there's a lot of confusing sports news out there, and I can't wrap my head around all of it. So I decided to enlist the help of a new and maybe dangerous AI program called Nick GPT.
Oh, that's a cool graphic they put up there. Okay, go ahead.
We don't know how powerful it is yet, but let's see if it can help us translate what some of the people in the sports world are saying.
Okay.
General manager Bob Myers has left the Warriors saying, "This job requires complete engagement, complete effort, and if I can't do it, and if you can't do it, you shouldn't do it at all," basically. And that's what he said, but what did he mean? Nick GPT, translate this statement.
Man, have you seen the new collective bargaining agreement? My owner said he doesn't want to pay $400 million in luxury tax. That's what we're going to have to do. The only way not to is to trade away Jordan Poole, who I foolishly signed to $128 million, but my hand was kind of forced because he had just gotten his jaw cracked by Draymond Green. Draymond's about to come to me and ask me for more money. Clay doesn't seem to want to acknowledge he's a shell of his former self. He's going to want an extension. I ain't got time for all this. I don't want to deal with it. I got my four championships, my six finals appearances. I'm a legend in the Bay. I love Steph, but I'm out of here. That's what he actually meant. Next.
Okay. Bengals receiver Tyler Boyd.
You're skipping the Bills one, I think.
Oops, but go ahead. My bad.
That's all right.
After off-season practices began, Bills coach Sean McDermott said, "I've seen a different Josh Allen this offseason. Not that it was bad before, but he's got a new sense of focus and determination, which is good." Nick GPT, translate this statement.
Man, so far this offseason, Josh isn't fumbling the ball in the red zone, throwing head-scratching picks, recognizing he's a quarterback, not a fullback, not trying to run people over. And hopefully we get, for the first time in the last 3 years, a full season of Josh Allen playing smart quarterback instead of trying to play Superman quarterback. He's got as much talent as anyone in the league aside from Patrick Mahomes, and he has none of the awards, none of the consistency, none of the success, because at times he thinks he's back at Wyoming trying to throw the ball out of the stadium or trying to just run everyone over, and that's not what we need. We love Josh, but we need him to settle down and be a little less of a roller coaster if we're ever going to get over the hump. That's what he means. Next.
Okay, so
now to the Bengals.
Okay. Bengals receiver Tyler Boyd said that he believes that if he wasn't hurt and played the whole game, they would have beat your Chiefs in the AFC Championship. He said he was the key factor. Nick GPT, translate this statement.
My AI technology is not sophisticated enough to translate either just a bold-faced lie or this level of delusion. The idea that Tyler Boyd was the key to the Bengals, who have Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon, it's just delusion. And I respect the confidence, but there's nothing to translate here. It's just nonsense. And the idea that if they had Tyler Boyd, they would have been able to stop Patrick Mahomes on the final drive of the game is vexing, considering the fact that
he
plays offense, not defense. Next.
We talked Tuesday about Aaron Rodgers at the Taylor Swift concert. Now we have a video of him dancing and the confetti screaming, "The Jets win the Super Bowl." Nick GPT, translate this statement.
Ayahuasca is a hell of a drug, to misquote Rick James. I mean, I get it. You're at MetLife. It's where the Jets play. They're dropping confetti. You're having a good time. You may or may not be on hallucinogens, but give me a break. And the more interesting Aaron Rodgers story is the interview or in the article in The Athletic where he just doubles down on the, "I wasn't ducking anyone's phone calls. I just have bad service in my house. You have to FaceTime me" nonsense. And says, "Sorry, not sorry about not talking to Brian Gutekunst. Quote, I talk to people I like," end quote. That's, to me, the more interesting Rodgers story. But I'm kind of sick of the Rodgers stories at this point. And by the way, he just missed his fourth straight practice with an injured calf, which is at least at this point moderately concerning. Next.
Tom Brady was asked if he was coming back. He said, "I'm certain I'm not playing again." Nick GPT, translate this statement.
I believe that Tom Brady believes that right now. That's what I believe. I believe that right now Tom Brady believes
that. But you believe that he's wrong?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that right now I believe that Tom Brady believes that. All right, last one.
Okay. Speaking of washed Patriots quarterbacks, Mac Jones had this to say about practice with Bill O'Brien. "It's been really good. It's been normal." GPT, translate this statement.
I've got an offensive coordinator as my offensive coordinator, as opposed to that wannabe rocket scientist defensive coordinator and special teams coach Belichick saddled me with last year. It's nice to actually have an offensive coordinator as my offensive coordinator. That's what I mean by that. That's 10 minutes on the dot. I got to tell you, Dior, I think the audience is probably wanting more today. But that's what they say. Leave them wanting more. We answer your questions next. What's right?
Welcome back, episode 156. Now we're going to answer your listener questions. Noel Rodriguez says, question for me. Since you've started doing the podcast, have you become a fan of a player or a team that you weren't very familiar with before? Honestly, not really. I mean, I was always pretty familiar with basketball, and I always knew.
And Dior hasn't been doing the show during football and doesn't like football, but maybe...
I don't mind watching football, but we don't really go to football games as a family. So
that's right. I don't like going to football games. I love going to basketball games. Yeah, so. But you did during your, I've mentioned this a few times on the show, but Dior goes to a very fancy, bougie school with fancy, bougie people. And prom weekend, there's the dance, but then, of course, the post-dance multi-day event.
What does this have to do with basketball?
In the Hamptons. And you told me that even while you were at your post-dance partying in the Hamptons, you checked in on the NBA scores.
Yeah, I did, but that has nothing to do with players. That's just...
No, but you are... I think you've started to like the sport a little more. Is that fair?
I guess. Sure.
You're going to watch the finals game one with me tonight, at least the first half. You go to bed quite early when you're at home, but...
I go to my room quite early.
Yeah, that's right. She goes to her room. It's probably on the phone or whatever for hours on end. But she says, "I'm going to bed." I'm like, "It's 8:30. But she...
That's maybe 9:30.
All right, what's next?
Okay, next question. Joe S. asked, who got in the French...
Who you got?
Who you got in the French Open now that your boy Natal
is Nadal.
Not in the draw.
Oh my gosh.
I don't need this right now.
Did you call him Natal?
I did.
Can come on, Diora.
I don't need this.
Listen, I love I do love Nadal, but and I'll be honest with you, I have not been locked into the French Open yet, but the next guy that I'm going to love is the guy everyone's going to love, Alcaraz. And so I'll go with Carlos, the Spaniard, a different Spaniard after being Nadal guy. I'll go with Carlos Alcaraz in the French. Hopefully he wins. There was an unbelievable shot he made that a couple matches ago that his opponent almost seemed demoralized by and then just clapped for him. All right, next.
Okay, Supernova 22 asks, does Monty have a chance to build and develop something in Detroit? He secured a huge payout, but the Pistons haven't been a winning franchise in a long time.
So I think Monty with the Pistons works really well. I think it's smart. I think asking him to build a culture and help teach a team learn how to win like he did in Phoenix is the exact right role for him, even if you have issues with him getting a team over the hump to a championship. And in Detroit, they're just trying to learn how to win. So listen, they paid him a ton of money. I mean, 6 years, $78 million for, I mean, God dog, man, that's Pat McAfee money, but that's a huge, huge contract. But I get it. They want to add credibility to the organization. They have the fourth pick in this year's draft, or the fifth pick in this year's draft. And then you add to it that they have Cade Cunningham coming back. I get what they're trying to do. I think that was a smart hire. All right, last one.
Aurora asks, Nick, would the Sixers be chasing their second ring by now if they kept Butler?
I mean, I don't know. So the year after the Raptors won, the Lakers won, then the Bucks, then the Warriors. And I don't know that the Sixers would have won any of those titles. Maybe last year. But they certainly would have made a conference finals, and I believe would have made at least a finals. Listen, it's an all-time front office gaffe. Everybody says they picked Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. But Jimmy, the real problem was Jimmy didn't want to be there because he sniffed out Ben Simmons earlier than everybody else, and the Sixers didn't want to believe him on it. He obviously was proven correct and vindicated, so they went with Tobias Harris, because they would have had to essentially move on from Ben Simmons to keep Jimmy. Credit to Jimmy for seeing that before anybody else saw it, way before anybody else said it. And credit to us, Diora. This was a nice, tight, 40-minute show. You didn't think I could do it. How about that? There it is. What's right? We will talk to you guys on Tuesday morning. Game one of the finals tonight. Game two on Sunday. So on Tuesday, we'll have a very good idea of what direction these finals are headed. I will see you guys at 3 o'clock today on FS1. What's right?
Bye.